Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Baisha.
Hello.
And we just got back from seeing a brand new movie. This time it's a black people movie.
Yay!
Sorry to bother you. And it's from a brand new director as well, Boots Riley. Which I wasn't aware of. I knew he did like videos and other little stuff, but I didn't realize he was on a group called The Coup. It's spelled a C-O-U-P. So people say, oh, The Coup. No, it's not The Coup. It's French. It's The Coup. But he was in that group. A lot of pro-black, positive. I think it was Oakland group. Kind of did a lot of things with a lot of pro-black rappers in the mid to late 90s, early 2000. So this was interesting. He actually released an album by The Coup called Sorry to Bother You. And then what we found out by listening to a couple of interviews that he pitched this way back in 2012 and started building from there, which is the background I kind of got with him. So because this was odd, it came out of nowhere, and the previews seemed funny and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And conceptually, you think you know what's coming, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you saw the interview before me on, what was that, Good Morning America?
It was, CBS Morning.
Oh,
this morning.
CBS. With Gail King.
Yeah, Gail, right? King, yes.
Yeah, so you saw that before I did.
Yes.
And so I really didn't want to read too much into it, but a lot of times when you hear that it's a black director / writer, it's interesting because it's coming from their viewpoint.
Exactly.
There's a couple of movies that they kind of reference to say it's a combination of so many things. Combination of a Spike Lee type movie, a combination of Internal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Forgot who the director of that was, with visual conceptual in there, that the movie Her. So many different kind of combinations of directors and writers that he kind of was able to put in a black perspective.
Right.
So, and I know you don't dig into a lot of movies prior to this, and I didn't do it this time. I took it at face value coming in there saying, what is this all about? Other than a black guy with a white voice doing telemarketing and moving up. So when that was introduced, and it was funny, what were you thinking about when you had that, baby?
I mean, we talking about just how you walking into the movie and seeing the first part of it.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Okay.
So, you know, you're thinking that it's going to be something of he gets a job, he you see the struggles of his family. He's living in a garage. His uncle can barely pay his rent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets a job as a telemarketer. You know, as you know, back in the day, telemarketers didn't make money. You work basically off commission.
Yep.
So he had he wasn't doing too well the first part of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, Danny Glover.
Yeah, Danny Glover.
Who was sitting next to him, who happened to be working, tell him, hey, you got to do the white voice.
And that was interesting. So did you hear what he said when he said, what was the white voice?
Don't give me this, try and explain it.
No, okay, I got you. So, so to me, it was interesting. The lead actor, Lakeith Stansfield, he said, they already say I got a white voice anyway, basically the way I'm talking. And he said, no, not that kind of white voice. It's the confidence. So there's no such thing as a white voice. It's the confidence that you express, like you don't have a care in the world.
Mm-hmm, like you're this rich man. And
so you're rich and you got it going on.
And I'm just, you know, I'm doing the hookup.
And that's not white. It's just the confidence of the way you speak and how you would speak to someone with that. So he's saying the mythical white voice is just a person with confidence who has it all, but may not have it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a prime example doing an interview is there's a family that lives in a project making $22,000, but they walking out like they're the richest people in the world. And they talk properly and really look at other people like they're better than them. But it's the confidence that is being impressed on them to be able to say, I have that confidence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what he was trying to express from that. But the telemarketing thing, I've always hated telemarketing because it's always, and he used to be a telemarketer, so he wrote kind of that into his revenge to say, look how fucked up telemarketing is.
I used to be a telemarketer and I hated that job.
I think everybody hates it, but somebody's got to do it though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They don't. I mean, do they still do that? I think they still do.
So this telemarketing does exist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It exists on different other levels, but not like it used to.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, besides just calling random people.
Yeah, selling anything.
Any and everything.
Yeah.
Now telemarketing is based on a purpose, and you can drive it off either return callers or return, not callers, but return people who's purchase your product, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it looked like it was, how do you become better in your life when you can change yourself to sound white and move up within the company?
Right, right.
And it looked like, based on the previews and everything, that he ran into a situation that he was able to move up in the company because he's changed his perspective of being a black man, being white,
and the fact that, you know, he was selling, he was making deals over the phone, and that's what they wanted, and he was doing it so fast
and doing it well.
Yeah, that is like, wow, he's making his money. Hey, let's move him up to the next level.
So one of the things which was really cool, but I forget the name, but there was a company, and what they kept showing throughout the movie was a company that was hiring labor people that actually lived in almost like a jail situation. They lived in rooms and bunk beds, but did labor.
Yeah, and they were happy living there.
They made it seem like it was happy living there.
Yeah.
So it's what made it the way that it will come true is, that's our society saying we just need workers. We don't need a lot of smart people. We just need manual, hard workers. And like in California, the cost of living and to live and to have benefits is so scarce that what you have to do is live with other people. So what they showed was you can make a decent living and we'll take care of you if you stay in these jail type facilities that mm-hmm. we'll feed you, we'll clothe you, just do our work, you know, like Amazon. But then they were showing that. And I was like, wow, that was crazy. Then they had like a YouTube kind of channel that we beat the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was not just a YouTube. It was a reality show as
so
well.
So it was a reality show.
Yeah.
So you come on.
It was a combination of everything.
Right. So anything, come on, but, you know, we beat the shit out of you. And you come on and you get your ass beat, and then you have to jump in some shit, and then whatever at the end. But it's one of the most popular shows that's out. Mm-hmm. And so what this guy, what Boots was showing was so many different levels. And so I might as well start right now. This movie was so all over the place, but
yes,
tried
thank
to
you.
Have a lot of issues he wanted to bring up.
Yes.
So what he did was kind of show things as he went along, but he couldn't keep up with it because he had to move along the story.
Yeah, because there was some, for example, I like, the one thing I did like is that Cash and his girlfriend wasn't.
Tessa Thompson, she played Detroit.
Right. It wasn't this confrontational kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? She was in love with him. They were engaged. You know, she was doing her artistic
stuff. She was a creative.
Yeah. And so she didn't have a problem him sleeping in the garage on his uncle's house. You know what I'm saying? because she was, that was her. She was just, and I like that because
their relationship.
Right. I like how they did that because, you know, you very seldom see relationships like that in the movies. So, you know,
like she would, the woman would pressure him. You need to do better. Yes, you can't
exactly,
stay in your,
exactly.
She was like, whatever.
Yeah. And I like that because it wasn't, it didn't bring that drama to it until she told him, don't cross the line. Mm-hmm. Don't cross the picket line, man.
So we didn't get to the picket line.
Right. But anyway, but he moved into the next level. He moved
He got to the next level of
promotion. He got a promotion.
Yeah, the high level seller.
Right.
Or whatever that
Which was the next, it was an elevator, what is it, the next floor up, let's say that.
Well, the top, where the top sellers are. The top sellers. But one of the visuals that I really liked, I thought that was really cool, and it just reminds you of other type of directors that were doing things, was when he got on the phone, so he would bust through the floor, and boom, he's right in front of him. And you know, people pick up their phone, and they're doing different things.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I love the visuals, how they did that, because it always comes up to, you're doing something, and your phone rings, and you pick it up and like, who the fuck is this? And you don't know who it is. And it just shows him in the room with the people doing that. And he kept like crashing through the floor. And it was really, really cool.
Yeah, the fun part was when he was talking to the Japanese guy and he was on the toilet.
He was sitting on the toilet.
And he pressed a little button for him.
Yeah, it was like a little, like a bidet and a little squirt, little water for him. And he reached over and squirted him. And then he would, and I like the other transitional thing. So some of the editing was really good. I really like some of the editing. He would say, why are you wearing those earrings? But she was somewhere else. But he would turn around existing where he is, and all of a sudden, you're somewhere else. Or then that guy, he was sitting with one of his good friends, and he was like, you're going to just shove all those French fries in your mouth. But he was at work. And then when he turned to look at him, they're at a club. And it just transitioned, so, you know, they cut and didn't cut. Mm-hmm. So the editing was done, like, really, really cool. So the visuals of this movie was really pretty cool. But the story was, like, really all over the place.
Right.
But see, we didn't even get to what the story really led to. So he could have kept with this storyline and probably ended it with just a couple of little... other things. So what he found out was when he moved up into the top class sales, where they were selling slavery or slave labor all around the world. And they needed the best selling people to sell that. And it was like a penthouse, and you see people all around, and it was a bunch of white people. And it was a bunch of white people, put it that way. Because I really didn't pick out any Asians or Hispanics or anything.
But, no, it was just a mixture. You could say that. He was the only black person there.
Yeah. So, but he was special because he was able to get on the phone with his white voice and to convince them. So what did you think about the other guy, the black lead guy, Omari?
Yeah, Omar.
Mr. They never say
never
his name.
Just said Mr. I mean, he was nothing special. He was just giving orders.
So he's the fictional. He's the fictional mediator.
Okay.
Almost like, and this is just me interpreting that. That's that conscious to say, move forward to do these things.
Okay.
So he was almost like, he was a character, but, you know, philosophically, he's that one that says, you can do something more. Don't give up an opportunity. That's that intuition or that drive to say, even though it may be bad, you still can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when he went to the mansion, because as he was doing good, he finally got to go to the mansion
apparently he said he wasn't even invited to.
Yeah, he was trying to get to this big business that sells the labor that they saw on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to be able to get these people. I mean, get the sales from them, which was like really crazy. But they finally got to go to his mansion.
Yeah.
He was having a party.
Right. He's having
and
a party.
They wanted to say, oh, I wanted to meet this your big star. Your big star, I wanted to meet him. And then there was a portion in there that A lot of times, it's funny. It's almost, it's funny, but it's very uncomfortable when white people see all black people only do black things. So they told him, hey, tell us about when you capped a dude, or yeah, you bust a cap in their ass, yeah, or you shot. You had to do that.
Right.
And
that was a great, I thought that was really great, that one little spot where he sat in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And as a black man,
he was surrounded by white, all these white people
who were so curious because they thought the stereotypical.
Yeah, the stereotypical black person
is always either shooting somebody
or rapping
or can rap.
And they was like, "I know you can rap." He's like, "Honestly, I listen to rap, but I can never rap." Right. No, you got to be able to rap. You got to be able to rap. And they was like, rap. And I was like, wow.
And you saw Omari, Mr. blank, 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 just looking at him like
yo, dude,
you can't
fucking start rapping.
Yeah, and it's like, and they made him tell him, hey, don't speak in your white voice. Speak in your black voice.
Yeah, I'm speaking your real voice because, you know, I really want to hear that.
Exactly.
So they wanted to be entertained by this black guy.
Yes, they did. So,
and so he went to the steps and he was trying to rap. It wasn't working.
What are you rapping, nigga?
And then all of a sudden, all he can think of was nigga shit. Nigga shit. And then they start chanting it. And then you see Mr. Blank. He was he's looking at him like, okay.
Yeah, because all white people were saying it. It was so funny.
And they wanted, it was like they waited to have an opportunity to say nigger.
Yeah, that's true.
And he gave them that. Yeah. And you saw how, even though he didn't want to, he knew that was the only thing that would get them hype to do something.
Yeah, they were so excited. And I thought that was really crazy. It was like, I mean, you know, as black people, we was like, oh my God, it's coming out their mouth. To me, it was hilarious because that's what they wanted to come out their mouth.
So it was hilarious and uncomfortable. That's why I said it's uncomfortable, because when you're around white people who only see you as a stereotype, and you don't want to lose that, so you give up your humanity or anything just to say, I'm just going to give you what you want. Mm-hmm. Except for saying no. When I mean no, I mean no. But that means he gives up his opportunity to make the money or be in the position that he wanted. And that's what he thought he achieved so much. And the other guy, Omari, didn't want him to lose that. Because even after that, it was all going on and they was having crazy sex all in the building. He sat there drinking, and Omari or Mr. came up to him in his black voice and said, you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to go down here. Don't lose this opportunity. And he was like, don't give me that. He said, give you what? That I'm not going to do it. Look, or I'm uncomfortable. He said, you need to go down there and do it. And he went down there. And in my impression is he was just going to sell out and do something. And then the story changes.
Yes, it sure does. Then it changes again.
The story changes. And I think this was where it lost me. So, again, slave labor. We're using people who has no choice and they can't afford anything. And they living in these homes together and they sacrificing. But the big CEO, I'm at the top. He has a book said, I'm at the top. He needed labor that wouldn't get tired and would be able to continue to work, but people wouldn't care too much about. So what he did, which was crazy, he had a video too, and he made Cash sit there and watch the video, but Cash had to go to the bathroom. So he went to the bathroom, and when he went to the bathroom, he said, go through the olive door.
Right, the olive door.
And he was like, all the doors had the same green color. That's what it looked like. So he went into one of the green doors. And when he went into one of the green doors, he saw a taller. He said, one taller than here? What the hell's going on? And somebody was in there and he was like, look, man, I'm going to give you some help. And when he opened the door, it was like a half man, half horse.
Yes.
And he falls on the ground. He's like, help me, help me. And he was like, oh, I'm up. So he ran out. And when he ran out, the head guy, you know, He caught him in the hallway.
You went to the wrong damn door.
He said, you went to the wrong door. This Arnie Hammer. His name was Steve Lift. But he said, I said the olive door. He was like, all of these colors. He said, no, there's a difference. So when he brought him back.
To watch the video.
To watch the video. But we missed the part. So when he first came in the door, he made him sniff this cocaine, allegedly, on a plate with a horse.
Wasn't that before he went to the bathroom?
Yeah, that was before. That's why I said we missed it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So when he sat down, it showed that he was making hybrid horse people. Yes. And so it was the first part. And he was like, no, I got to get out of here. Then he was like, no, you got to finish the whole thing. So when he sat down again, and then he saw that the way these people was changing to horses, because they was changing, they wasn't made as horses, they would sniff something like cocaine, mm-hmm. and they would change to horses.
Yep.
So he was like, what the hell would you give me? He was like, no, I gave you some Peruvian cocaine. He's like, oh, I don't trust you. So it was just crazy. And he said, he need for you to represent this new race of equine sapiens. So equine meaning horses, sapiens, you know, going from that, which was like super crazy. And I was like, okay, this is really going some crazy direction. So then he just leaves. He was like, man, I'm going to get the fuck up out of here.
Right.
So he leaves. He tries to get back with his team, because that's the other part we miss. Before he went to be one of the top salespeople, he met up with some people. What's his name? Squeeze and Langston and the rest of them to say, we're gonna strike. So to have a union, we have to have living wages with benefits.
Right.
So they were striking, and in the middle of the strike, he got promoted. So they were still out striking while he was making all types of money and everything. So he told them, my uncles, they're going to take his house away. So I got to get this money.
Right.
I'm sorry. I got to get this money. So when he realized how far down he had to go to, and what these people were doing, he wanted to go back and let them know, but he was afraid because he was kind of like, yo, I might turn into a horse. What's going on? So he went to the doctor and did a checkup on himself and so on and so forth. So, which was like really, really crazy. But anyway, he goes through, he gets on, get the shit kicked out of you, and he revealed, which he didn't know, he sent a video to his girlfriend that had pictures of the horses and the CEO standing over and them saying, if y'all don't, y'all keep acting up, I'm going to change you to glue. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so he put it on TV, and then the stock went up so high, and the congressman cheered him on because he invented a new race that would help the economy get boost. And he was like, what kind of country, what are we living in? In society that they praise shit like this, and that changes people, and it's wrong,
and it's wrong.
So it was just, I get it. I get a lot of things he was doing, and a lot of things he was doing was really, really good, but conceptually it was really odd and too much. I think the horse thing was too much. I think he could have went a different way with the slave labor thing. I think he could have went in a way of showing how society doesn't care and create their own prison system of actual workers, because that's what it looked like. As soon as they start showing it on TV, it looked like just prisons. But prisons for workers.
And I think that you're right. He could have had stayed that way, go that direction, instead of bringing that whole horse thing into the actual movie, because you didn't quite understand where it was coming from.
So he put something a little on the outrageous side, because you never saw that.
Well, you
coming.
Know that they consider that sci-fi. They put, because of the horses, they gave it
fantasy. Yeah, fantasy sci-fi.
Yeah,
fantasy sci-fi. Which was still kind of silly sci-fi.
Right, exactly.
But I don't think that played well. Again, I get it, but I don't think it played well. So that's what disturbed me, because I didn't think that was necessary. I think the writing and the buildup and the visuals and the political commentary was really, really good.
Right.
I think all of that was good. But when it turned to the horse thing, it really kind of fucked me up, because I was kind of like, that doesn't make no goddamn sense.
Yeah,
because you didn't have to do that.
Right. And even so, he didn't even bring it in earlier into some trickle of it to lead to it.
So
it got to just be, it's almost like
it's, he didn't almost have enough time.
That and the fact that somebody may have gave him extra money for him to throw it in there.
No, I don't think it was extra money. I think he wanted to do a lot more than that. And they was like, if you're going to keep it in there, we got to keep it under 2 hours. So it was an hour and 45 minutes. I bet you if he would have pulled back in what he edited out, you would probably see a lot of the genome stuff, the splitting, and you would probably find that he had scientists, that they were doing stuff.
Right,
and then
right.
you realize, oh, shit, this is what he was doing.
Right.
But it was such a hard cut to say, here you go. You just walk in there and there's horse people. You know what I mean? That was just so, it was too abrupt.
Right.
It didn't lead you into anything.
So, I mean, honest, truthfully, if we wasn't movie watchers and understood what this really movie was all about, we kind of know what, I mean, I kind of knew what it was all about, focusing on how society has, you know, basically used, they need so many things, they need immigrants to take care of their stuff, that it comes to the point that they don't realize the importance of immigrants, you know, because
of workers.
Yeah, of workers, exactly. Mm-hmm. The value of workers, how you underpay them, you know, and then you want them to work their asses off and then still don't want to pay them. And you want to, you know, so that was a really, you know, what I took from the movie.
Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of that. Go ahead and finish, I'm sorry.
And so I can understand where people were, how he did it, people didn't understand where he was going with it.
And I see why a lot of viewers didn't like it. Because if you didn't see it that deeply like you did, because there was so many other things that was
in it. Yeah, there's a lot of layers in it to
The layers of social media and how people get enjoyment of seeing other people get hurt. Because remember how Danny Glover was like, oh, I love that. It's always good to see somebody get their ass kicked.
Yeah, because, you know, now they're saying, I saw an article the other day that social media, I mean, not social media, but reality shows are the hottest things out there more than anything now.
Which is
to my surprise, like, what the hell?
But it's not reality. It's staged reality. So it's not reality.
Yeah.
It's just real people in a show. So they call it reality.
Right.
But it's not. It's staged. All of this shit. Even when people buy houses, they already bought the house, but they go back like it's a surprise. Like, you know what? I don't know which house I picked. But they already picked the house. And it's going from that. But it was so many layers of reality and things and commentary and social issues that they were showing all through here. That it was like, it was just so, it was good in that way. But I think He I don't say he ruined it, but he lost me when he added in the horse people.
Yeah.
That was
kind of weird, and I didn't quite, I mean, I didn't think it was needed. I think, like you said,
I just don't think it was needed.
Yeah, I think that he could have went a totally different, you know, he had the story completely in place.
Yes.
If he could have continued on with it, it would have made his point.
Yeah, it would have made his point, and if he would have just went deeper into how people were treated, and even have this guy, he could have mutated the people to be stronger and work there. But I don't know where the horse thing came from. That was just weird. And then he, all this prosthetic with a horse with a big dick and big nostrils. So he, one of the big lines that kept going on is, how did my dick get bigger? Did my dick get bigger? And you know, it was kind of like, you know, was that, I get it, but come on, bro.
So they had actual people do the voices, the white voices for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so David Cross from Diversity Development did Cash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they had different people do the voices. So as they would talk, you know, they were saying it, but, you know, the over voice was a white person.
Oh, yeah, and Kamau Bell was on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him. I was like, damn, I forgot his name. He's on there. Yeah.
So there's a lot of great people in there. There was also Rosario Dawson. What's her name? I can't
remember. Rosario?
Yeah, Rosario.
Where was she at?
She was the voice of the elevator.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was a lot of people. Yeah. And so I didn't even recognize until they put her in
there. And Forrest Whitaker's.
Yeah, too. Forrest Whitaker was in there as well. Voice.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And Lily James was Detroit's white British voice.
Yes.
Wow. And, oh, Patton Oswalt was Mister's white voice. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Very cool. So, which is kind of cool.
So they used other people, true white voices.
Yes.
Instead of the black people trying to make a white voice.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Pretty cool. So what do you rate this?
Wow. I don't think I'm going to want to see it again. I will give it a 7.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm going to rate it a 6.5. And the reason why I'm going to rate it a 6.5 is I probably will see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see a little more detail. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because since it was all over the place, there was a lot of things that I just couldn't see why it was necessary. So right. I was kind of passing it up.
Right, right.
I think if I see it again, there's some details that I'd be like, okay. I may have missed the fact that the horse thing was already shown earlier, but I missed it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that's why I say a 6.5. I mean, yours is a little higher. I wouldn't go that high because I didn't like it that much. Because I, even as the story was going on, it was interesting, but it wasn't enjoyable.
Okay.
You know,
I got you.
Some things, when I want comedies, some things just make me laugh. Or I'm like, oh, that's really clever.
Well,
that's
one thing, really it wasn't a ghetto comedy.
So you know, I don't mean to sound harsh, but no, it wasn't. But it wasn't that great either.
No, but it was intelligent.
Yes.
It wasn't. And that's another reason why I gave it a 7, because it was an intelligent comedy. It wasn't, you know, because, you know, typical black people want to see.
So we saw the ones earlier in the previews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was like 3 of them. And we was kind of like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Here it comes. So it wasn't that. I would see this before I see any of those.
Right.
I would see this again before I see any of those. So, and I don't know. So, but I say 6.5 because I don't rate a lot of movies as high if it doesn't keep my interest or it doesn't present itself like it should be presented. And it had dropped below 7 because of the horse shit that was on there. You know, no pun intended. But that horse portion just really, to me, I think he just wanted to do something. And that's the only reason why I think they put fantasy sci-fi, because the horses.
I think that's another reason why they did too, yes.
It was just odd. But yeah, mine's a 6.5. I got you, baby, and you are absolutely right. You know, compared to a lot of these, you know, black or African-American movies that's out, that's buffoonery. Or want to show how who can be the most ghetto out here and a sophisticated black person.
Mm-hmm.
One sophisticated and a ghetto ass girl, or a ghetto ass dude, or just a silly black stereotypical guy hanging out with white people.
Right.
And that doesn't work. This whole environment was black, which was to me positive all the way through. It just wasn't. Wasn't executed as good as it could have. I think if he would have shut it down, like we keep saying throughout our conversation, if he would have shut it down before the horse thing, I would have rated almost an 8, because I think it was intelligent enough to say, think about how people are being treated.
Right.
Think exactly. About how our society are looking at who, you know, he got hit in the head with a can and people were walking around with wigs on with a can in their head. And the woman who threw the can became famous by just throwing a can.
Right.
And that's what our society glorifies.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what I think the social commentary on there was so good. But he ruined it with the dam. And I keep going back to the horses. I'm sorry. But it keep is that just ruined it for me. And that's what took it under seven. He would have probably had a good eight saying, great story. Now, I'm going to compare it quickly to Get Out. Now, Get Out never gave you an impression that it was going anywhere different. But when it went different, you believed it.
Right.
It was something you can say, wow.
It went. It
white people
went,
do right, feel that way.
Right. The flow was perfect.
Yeah. But you would believe white people. Do you believe this man will think of something of a formula to make people into horses? Horse people?
Hell no.
That just sounds too ridiculous.
Hell no.
But I would believe that, I'll take your white brain and put it into a black body. And hey, because I've always wanted to be black.
Yes, exactly.
But I want to keep the riches as a white person.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why the way that was written and how he kept it down that line and finished the story to a certain point is the difference between the two. But good movie, though. I do recommend it.
Well, they grossed them and they made their money.
Really?
Yeah. It said they grossed $5 million.
So what was the cost of the movie, though?
That's a good question.
So, I mean, if it, $5 million and it costs $10 million, he only got half his money back. You know what I mean?
Hold on a second.
And it was released in, limited theaters at first.
Right.
Because it came out about a week or two ago. So, because the opening weekend was $727,000. And then now total gross was $5 million. So, anything else, darling?
No. This was a good movie. I just hope that, you know, again, this is the kind of movie that people may not want to see.
But should see.
Yeah,
even
should see.
Even when I say, you know, the portion of the movie was weird, I think it still had so much in it that had substance to it. And related to, if you want to see a pro-black, what you call it, movie that has black people doing things. It even had a kind of a feel of a Fridays when that dude rolled up on him and said, hey, ain't you that guy that got hit in the head? He was like, no, that ain't me. He said, yes, it is. He said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And the dude was like, he threw his cup at him and was like, you lying. And he just took off. I was like, yo.
That was funny.
Yo. So, and then he walked around the city and it gave the whole visual of the city and everything, of Oakland and, you know, the houses and the downtown area and all of that. So it was a good visual of the whole area as well. But anyway, Fade to Black Cinema every Wednesday. See us every Wednesday. And we have a couple of snippets coming out. We have a couple of movies left for the summer season. Then we get into the seasons where they were to try to put their Oscar nominees in, which is in the fall. But we have a couple of other summer movies to get to. So
next is Denzel Washington.
Yeah, The Equalizer 2.
Then
so
after
we didn't
that,
think The Equalizer 1 was that good. It was interesting, but it wasn't that good. But
and then
the Tom Cruise,
yay!
Mission Impossible. We always see Tom Cruise. He's yay! One of my favorites because he's just crazy.
He never won an Emmy Award.
He won't win an award, but he's like a Bruce Willis to me. You know, Bruce Willis does things, but since we found out Bruce Willis is a Trump supporter, I don't want to, you know, see most of his movies on.
Yeah, sorry.
Anywho, BougieBlackBrother.com. Catch us on that. It used to be Urban Lifestyle Cafe, so you would probably see some of the older reviews on Urban Lifestyle Cafe, but it is now on Fade to Black Cinema on Twitter, Instagram, BougieBlackBro, or Fine BLK Woman. Leave us some notes on, hey, I like your review. That made a lot of sense. I'll go and see it. So, very good. Look out for this guy, Boots Riley. He did a really good job on this. I think the critics loved it, so he's probably going to get some money to do something else. But hopefully, he'll take the criticism and stop putting horses in his movie.
Thank y'all.
So, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And Alicia and I will see you next time on Fade to Black Shimmer.
Bye.
See ya.